He has risen. That's right, he has indeed. And I want to welcome you to Miranda Kong for our special online service for this Easter Sunday. From our families to yours, we hope that you have a really special Easter Sunday, wherever that might be that you're celebrating that our Saviour has risen for us. Now, look, you might not recognise me, given that I've joined the hundreds of other parents that are homeschooling at the moment and are not washing or shaving until this thing is over and they're back at school. But hopefully sometime during term two, I'll be able to take this off. I'm the guy that usually gets up the front to tell you what's been going on in the life of our church and what's coming up. But unfortunately, when I picked up my bulletin this week, I've sort of read it here on my iPad, there's not a lot going on in the life of our church. It is great to see that different groups are getting together virtually, doing that via video conferencing or via the phone. So continue to do that, and thanks to those who are picking the phone up and just ringing each other and keeping each other engaged and just having a chat. I think we all need that at the moment. And I remind you, especially if you aren't talking to anyone or aren't being able to pick up the phone and talk to anyone, you can always reach out to Heath or Jeremy, who are available to help out with anything that you might need. If you need some help getting to a medical appointment or help getting some groceries, their details, if technology works, will come up on the screen and you can reach out to them, and they would be more than happy to either help you themselves or find someone that can help you during this time. Also, just a reminder for those that call Miranda their home church, you can continue to give during this time, either via direct debit or via the credit card. And again, details for that are in the bulletin. This morning, we're going to hear from Jeremy in just a few minutes. So he's going to speak to us on a really familiar passage that I'm sure most of you will know in John 3. So really look forward to hearing from him in a few minutes' time. But I'd just like to pray together now. Remember, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, the Holy Spirit will hear you. So I encourage you to join together with us now as a church family, and let's just pray together at this time. Father, we just thank you for sending us your Son Jesus to die for us so that we can be forgiven for our sins and have a relationship with you. We thank you for this Easter weekend that we can stop and reflect on what it means to have a risen Saviour. In these times of isolation, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides, protects and comforts us whenever we're on our own, or for some it feels like we never have time alone or time by ourselves anymore. Lord, be with our church family at this time as we worship you in our own homes, and we look forward again to a time when we can join together in the same place. Be with those, Lord, who are ill at the moment. We especially think of those who are undergoing treatment for their illnesses. We pray for your healing hand to be upon them and to bring them back to health. Lord, we acknowledge that you're all-knowing, and whilst we're finding it really hard to understand why this coronavirus has stopped everything that we're used to doing, we would just ask for your guidance with us at the moment. Be with our government leaders who are having to lead us through this difficult time, that they'll make decisions to help us through this pandemic. And help us with this time in isolation to build a closer relationship with you, so that we would be able to share our good and bad experiences with others who may not know you, and that we can demonstrate our love for you during this time. Lord, be with Jeremy today as he brings us a message from your word, and we ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
sweetest friend. But wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone,
You are the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth proclaim, holy is our God. Let's sing together, shout all the earth.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday morning service and our time around God's Word together. A special welcome, a special hello to my church family, Miranda Congregational Church, and also to others that are watching, wherever you may be. It's good to have your company with us. Who would have thought? I was just thinking before, only a few months ago, we filled this place at Christmas time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we had carols and children's production and wonderful celebration of Jesus. And I didn't have that thought or any idea, as nor did you, that we would be celebrating Easter and the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus in the way that we are today. But the most important thing is we are celebrating. We are remembering Jesus, and what a wonderful day. I don't think there's any better day for a preacher to preach than Resurrection Sunday. The stone's been rolled away, and the grave is empty. He is risen, and what a fantastic day to celebrate, and what a wonderful message. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive, and I'm looking forward to bringing God's word this morning. I'd like us to focus our attention to John chapter 3 and verses 1 through to 21. John chapter 3, verses 1 through to 21. And while you find it there in your Bible, I'll pray. Father God, I thank you for your scriptures. I thank you for the Holy Scriptures. I thank you, Lord, as I read them this morning and as I speak about them this morning. I pray, Lord, that they will be words of challenge. I pray that they will be words of comfort. I pray that they will be words that bring hope at this time, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I could hear you. Amen. Well, let's read together, shall we? John chapter 3 and verses 1 through to 21. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And then we have verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This then is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. May God bless his scriptures to us. So this story begins with Nicodemus. He's a teacher of the scriptures. In fact, he's a teacher of teachers. He has been highly trained in the law and in theology. And he comes to Jesus by night. And he comes to have a conversation with Jesus about salvation. And specifically, he wants to know, how can I get into heaven? That's a great question. I wonder if you've ever asked that question. Have you ever thought that of yourself? Maybe you've said, if there is a heaven, if there is a God, if Jesus is true, if there is a heaven, how do I get to heaven? So there's this conversation that now takes place between Nicodemus and Jesus. And Jesus introduces the concept of being born again. Born again. Maybe you've been asked that. Are you one of the born agains? Are you a born again? I've been asked that. I reply, yes, absolutely. I am one of those born agains. Some people add to that, are you one of those happy clappy born agains? And to that I say, yes, I am. I'm a happy clappy born again believer in Jesus Christ. So Jesus introduces this concept of being born again. And we note here that Nicodemus replies with a cynical comment. You can't enter your mother's womb again. To this cynical response, Jesus responds with the revelation about this birth. This idea of being born again, it's not a physical birth. It is a spiritual birth. Jesus then introduces a second illustration, that of the wind. Remember, we read that a moment ago. The wind blows and we don't know where it comes from and we don't know where it's going. And so Jesus introduces this idea of the wind. Of course, he's speaking here of the Holy Spirit's involvement in the journey of being born again of the Spirit. To this illustration, Nicodemus responds with a lack of understanding. He says, how can this be? Jesus then changes the direction of the conversation to introduce another illustration to help Nicodemus understand. And he uses a scripture from the Old Testament. It's very clever what Jesus is doing because this is a scripture that Nicodemus would have been familiar with. In fact, he probably would have taught from this scripture in the synagogue. And the scripture that Jesus takes Nicodemus to is found in Numbers chapter 21 and verses 4 through to 9. Now let me read it to you. Numbers 21, 4 through to 9. It says, they, that is the Israelites, God's people, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses. And they said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. They're a happy bunch, aren't they? Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So Jesus takes Nicodemus back to this Old Testament scripture, this story of Moses and a snake and a pole. And it's at this point, after Jesus has illustrated this, that Nicodemus goes silent. We have silence. There's no more cynical remarks. There are no more questions. In fact, we don't hear from Nicodemus again in this story, in John chapter 3. So we don't know if Nicodemus was satisfied with Jesus' response. We don't know if he accepted Jesus. We don't know if he became a born again. We have silence. But we do hear about Nicodemus on two more occasions. And I want to just have a look at these briefly. So this is the first occasion that we're introduced to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, and this conversation about salvation and being born again. The second time we read of Nicodemus is in John chapter 7 and verses 50 through to 51. Some scholars say that it's probably about 3 years after that first encounter. So Nicodemus has witnessed Jesus, he's been with Jesus, he's had this conversation. We've had then silence for 3 years, and now Nicodemus appears again. And in John chapter 7 and verses 50 through to 51, we read that Nicodemus is defending Jesus. Nicodemus here is advising his colleagues to investigate for themselves the claims that Jesus makes about himself before they make a judgment about him. There's a sense here that something has transpired in Nicodemus' heart. There's been a change of heart. Something is happening on the inside of Nicodemus. So this is the second occasion the Bible records Nicodemus. Then we have a third and final mention of Nicodemus. And so Nicodemus, I guess, he pops up again in John chapter 19 and verse 39. This is probably the most significant of the interactions that Nicodemus has with Jesus. And interestingly enough, he's engaging with a dead Jesus. You see, here in John chapter 19 and verse 39, we find Nicodemus at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus witnesses the death of Jesus on the cross. And if you like, he's like a first responder. And he's there. Jesus has died and they're taking him down off the cross, and here's Nicodemus. And the Bible tells us that he arranges the burial of Jesus. He doesn't only arrange the tomb, but he arranges the anointing oils. He arranges the perfumes, if you like, all of those spices and oils that are used in the embalming process of a dead body. Nicodemus is there. And in fact, we discover he buys enough spices, enough oils and perfumes fit for a king. Fit for a king. The amount that he purchased, the amount that he organized would be enough to embalm a king. Think about that for a moment. It appears that Nicodemus is confronted with the truth and the reality that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who had been lifted up for all men to see. This is the king. This is the king of the Jews. But not only that, maybe Nicodemus is saying, this is my king, and we're going to bury him as a king. Perhaps Nicodemus has become a born again. Perhaps he remembers that first encounter that he had with Jesus and the discussions about being born again and the discussions about a snake being lifted up on a pole, and in the same way, Jesus would be lifted up so that all can look and see and believe in him and not die. Perhaps now Nicodemus believes. The truth has been revealed to Nicodemus as to who Jesus is. What an amazing story. Amazing story. So what do we have to take home? Well, I guess you're already home, but what are some take-home truths from this story? There are five that I'd like to present to you just briefly. Five take-home truths from this story in John chapter 3. Firstly, I'd like you to notice with me that the world is dying by default. We are all born to die. The curse of sin has its effect. We are all dying by default. Of course, this is not God's original intention for mankind. It is the curse of sin. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. So firstly, we notice that the world is dying by default. Secondly, we notice here that Moses' snake is long gone. The snake is long gone and has been replaced by the greater, Jesus on the cross. The Israelites got bitten by a snake and they had the opportunity to look up at that bronze snake and live. For you and I that are dying by default, bitten by the curse of sin, we have the opportunity to look up and to look to Jesus, the one who was lifted up on a cross. We have the opportunity to look at the cross, to look at Jesus who was lifted up for all men to see, to look and believe. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was thinking about a song just yesterday, a song that I used to sing as a young teenager in church. And I know Heath sang on Good Friday, and he's a better singer than me, but I was remembering that song, Lift Jesus Higher. Some of you would remember that song. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus has been lifted up. Come on, somebody say amen. Jesus, he's replaced. The greater has replaced the snake on a pole. Jesus was lifted up for all to see and for all to look and believe in. The third thing that we notice is that we should never take our eyes off the cross. Never take our eyes off the cross. The cross is the central theme of the Christian faith. The cross is significant. Jesus' death on the cross is pivotal to the Christian faith. No cross, no faith. No cross, no forgiveness of sin. No cross, no eternal life. No cross, no way back to the Father. No cross, no hope. No cross, no future. The cross is central to our faith, and we should never take our eyes off the cross. I love it that at our church, we have a cross above the roof of the main auditorium. We should never take our eyes off the cross. But you know, the truth is, for some people, some see the cross as a symbol of defeat. Some people see the cross as a symbol of defeat, of failure, of death. It's gruesome. It's inhumane. It's ugly. It's bloody. It's an embarrassment. It's a massacre. It's a whitewash. Jesus has died. And some people still see it like that. But I say to you, on the contrary, it is a sign of victory. It is a sign of conquest. It is a sign of triumph. The cross is a sign of the fulfillment of God's plan for mankind. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Never take your eyes off the cross. Never take your eyes off the blood of Jesus. Church, his victory is our victory. Jesus' victory over sin, over death, over the devil is our victory. This is our salvation. It's our healing. It's our redemption. A few months ago, my daughter got a tattoo. I think it says others just on her arm here. And I was thinking about getting a tattoo, but I probably won't. I'm probably a little bit beyond that now. But I've been looking around, and I guess maybe it's popular at the moment. Everyone's getting tattoos. But I tell you what I have seen. The amount of people that have a cross. And the thing that I've noticed about the cross as a tattoo is that most times, in fact, I don't think I've ever seen a cross with Jesus on it. It's always an empty cross. I like that. Because we should never take our eyes off the fact that it is an empty cross. There is an empty tomb. Jesus has risen. He is alive. He was victorious over death, the death of the cross. So we should never take our eyes off the cross. And very quickly, number four, notice here with me that only by continually believing and looking can you live eternally. Only by continually looking and believing can you live eternally. John 3:16, whoever believes, that word believes. The Greek word there, it's a present participle. It speaks of eternal life being granted to those who continue to believe. Eternal life is granted to the believing into ones, to those that believe in Jesus, to continue to believe in Jesus. It's not just a peek at the cross. It's not just a glance at the cross. It's not just a once-off look at the cross, but continually look at the cross and continue to believe in Jesus. And the last thought I share with you is that our life task is to point people to Jesus. The task that we have, to those of us who were dying by default and who have looked and believed and received eternal life in Jesus, our goal, our task is to point others that are dying, point them to Jesus. The Bible says the Son of Man was lifted up for all to see and believe. Let me ask you a question as I close. Have you looked? Have you believed? Or I could put it another way. Are you born again? I trust that this Easter, you will look and believe in Jesus. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the message of Easter. I thank you, Lord, for your death, burial, and resurrection. I thank you for the victory of the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you endured the cross, that you were victorious over sin, death, and the enemy, and that victory is available to us. I pray for everybody listening to me right now that hasn't looked and that doesn't believe. I pray that your Holy Spirit will take the words that have been spoken today, take the scriptures and work them in the lives of hearers, that they may look to you and believe in you, and in doing so, become a born again. Amen. God bless you, church.
This song was written nearly 300 years ago by an individual who started their life doing a lot of terrible things and then came to know Christ and turned their life around. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
This song comes out of a passage in Revelation, Revelation 5. It says, "See, the line of Judah has triumphed." Let's look forward to what we have to come and sing the Lion and the Lamb.